Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase. If you haven't heard, we're now brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. We are happy about that. Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. Pretty cool. Raised right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Yep. Distilled in Kentucky, but crafted in Memphis. And if you haven't tried it, you should. We'll have Mike Vrabel in about 10 minutes. We'll hear what the head coach of the Titans has to say after their loss. And they have acquired a cornerback from the Chargers who gagged away their 24-3 lead over the Broncos yesterday. Desmond Keane now becomes a part of the Titans roster. They give up a sixth-round pick in next year's draft for him. And with that being said, I bring that up. Denver, or the Chargers, gagging away another big lead because, as you just heard me talk about at the end of last hour, DraftKings and others, Chase, you talk about BetMGM, right?
Yep.
Sports betting became legal in our state as of 12:01 a.m. Sunday morning. So it was up and running for people in this state to gamble on sports legally. And wow, what a day to kick it off. You get the NFL to kick it off. And I've never done it before. Chase knows that. I had to call him and say, kind of help walk me through this DraftKings app. Help me walk, navigate through all this Sunday morning. And he did. He's nice enough to do that. And
got you.
And I wanted to experience it. I wanted to go through it and see what it was like and how it worked. And, man, it is so cool. I had a blast with it yesterday, and I can't imagine how many people signed up. I'm sure we'll find out this week how many people were in this state betting on it because they have a way of tracking because you have to have a locator and have to be in this state for it to happen. And so that's the only way that you know you can do it is you have to have a locator on your phone or your computer or both. So they can prove that you're in the state of Tennessee. But nonetheless, I know because I talked to a lot of people. They were doing it yesterday. And one of the games that I dabbled with was Denver against the Chargers. And Denver looked all but dead.
Oh.
Down 24-3. And Drew Locke brought back the Broncos. And just like we've talked about all season long, the Chargers cannot protect a lead. They gag away more games than any team I've heard. You know, Anthony Lynn seems like a nice guy. There's no way he's going to make it through this season.
Dead man walking.
That's what I know. I know we did it already, but that's what I know. There's no way he's going to survive this season. They will have a new coach on the sidelines next year. You know, whether he's a nice guy or not, or if you can't, ultimately your job is to close out games and win them. Like I said, this season, teams with a 17 or better point lead have gone on to win the games 52 of the 56 times. The Chargers have lost all three times when they've been up 17 or more points this season. They are 0-3 with a 17-point lead, at least a 17-point lead in the NFL. They've lost all three. And yesterday was another one that a notch in their belt, and the Broncos came back and won on literally the last play of the game.
Yes, and that was
it's hard to fathom.
That was good
for the
for
Chargers.
Us.
You really love that you have a quarterback that looks like he's a fit, looks like he's a hit, right? He's certainly not a bust, right? You can do some things with this guy. They score some points, yeah.
Well, yeah,
it's a lot to be excited
it's early.
About.
Yeah, no, he looks great, but I mean, you know, you've heard me
he
a million
better
times
than
say
thought.
Let's years 2 and 3. You know, the first year's one thing, and that's great. It does. It looks way better than I thought he was going to be at this level. You're right. It looks like they've got something they can really build on, but it'll also be up to Justin Herbert to keep getting better because defenses figure you out.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna have to keep developing, but he's certainly.
Maybe we should thank him.
Going to be very good.
Maybe we should thank him, right? Because it made if they had won, would Desmond King have been available to the Titans today?
Yeah. It's a good point.
I don't know. Good question.
Very good point. But to the original subject, we've talked a lot about sports betting on this show. I can remember, you know, being on the air when the ruling came down and what that would mean, and it's obviously been a process for our state to get it going.
Took a while to get here, but
it did.
It's here.
It did, but it is here, and I put it out on Twitter, and I'll say it here on the air. You know, if this is something that you're interested in, we try to educate. I try to educate. Darren tries to educate. And, Willie, I know you're kind of learning along with everyone else. And be patient, because even though you have a lot of these apps that are DraftKings or BetMGM or FanDuel, there's a local company in Action 24/7. They're new in this state, so there are going to be bugs. There are going to be things that they have to work through. And yesterday being the first day in NFL Sunday was trial by fire. But I think from people that I've talked to, it went off pretty well and worked through some growing pains. But it's certainly cool to interact with a lot of you on Twitter asking questions, you know, as simple as what's a parlay. So it'll be a learning process, and something that you've already heard incorporated in our conversations on this show, but you'll hear it even more now that it is official in our state.
You know, it's too bad that 4 years ago it wasn't legal, because you guys could have bet on me running from the hotel.
I knew you were going
to front of the Coyotes arena, running from there to the football stadium and back during the commercial break.
Is this the 4 year anniversary?
Today's the 4 year anniversary.
Wow. Pete Weber did the play by play.
And Pete did the play by play on it on the air.
Yep.
And so I don't know if we actually made a wager that day, but if we did, I won.
Wow.
I think you guys would have lost. I don't remember what it was. Yeah,
I don't remember the details. I don't remember what we thought you could or could not
do.
Well,
I took a picture outside of on the porch overlooking the Cardinals Stadium, which at the time was University of Phoenix. It's called something different
State
now.
Farm.
State Farm. So I took a picture and I said, do you think I could run to the stadium and back during a timeout or during a commercial break? And you guys said, no way. No way. And so not only that, I walked down.
I think Derek thought you could.
I'm not surprised. D-Mace has faith that I had the ability. But it was all trying to gauge, you know, how far is the stadium actually away, right, from the picture. Sometimes it's hard to tell, right, a big structure like that. Like, you can be walking down New York City and a skyscraper looks like it's right there, but it's actually way further down than you think. So that was kind of the principle there. But the thing that made it, which we didn't foresee at the time, was Pete's play-by-play, which is hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Taking video on the phone, it was good stuff. It was captured on Facebook.
Yep. You can... It's probably still out there somewhere.
It is, because it popped up on Aaron's Facebook today. You
That's
know, sometimes
great.
On Facebook you get the 3 years ago today, sure. 5 years ago.
Yep.
So we got it.
Time
That's
hop.
How I knew.
That's awesome. I remember that day quite well. Well, that's cool that's 4 years today. You know, the draft, just navigating around it yesterday, speaking of prop bets, when you talk about us betting on you, whether you could do it or not, it's amazing how much you can, I mean, you could sit there for hours on end and just all the props they have on games, it's unbelievable what you can bet on. Basically anything and everything. It's like the Super Bowl every day. Yesterday was like the Super Bowl with every game. You've got so many bets you can do. It's pretty interesting.
The question I asked you guys when this started becoming something that we figured that it was on the way, it was just a matter of the legal part of it, is will more people gamble that haven't gambled before in
I
our
think
area
so.
Because of this? That was my question. Or is this just make the people that were doing it technically illegally, now it's just legal?
Well, I wasn't doing it, and I just told you I was doing it yesterday. So
there you go.
I'm a very small sample, but I was doing it yesterday. I think the answer is without a doubt yes. Without a doubt. All right, we will come back and hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back here, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth, the sponsor of our show. Let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park and hear from head coach Mike Vrabel, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville.
You know, one phase, it's four phases. It's our ability to coach and improve that area. It's the ability to clean up details and continue and extend drives offensively and not stall, to make a bigger impact and play better on special teams. And then defensively, you know, again, it's just going to come down to third downs, you know, five third and ones, a third and two, you know, that was again, competitive and, you know, but those are difficult, you know, and again, they're the good snaps, you know, that are there, you know, the tackle for losses, the times we do affect the quarterback and he throws it away, you know, get muddied up by the inability for us to get off the field on third down like yesterday.
Jim?
Mike, what's the frustration level, I guess, for Jadeveon? Had a clear run and missed him, and how do you find a way to get more pressure on the quarterback on a consistent basis?
Frustration on one play that we missed? No. I mean, guys are going to miss tackles. Guys are going to – you know, those things happen, you know, I'm not going to magnify it. Would have been nice to, you know, I mean, the next time I'm confident that, you know, JD will or whoever will come through there and knock the football out, you know, and then we missed him, you know, we missed him a couple other times. And again, he's athletic and big and good play strength, but you know, there was some, there were some good rushes. There were some things that we did well. And then there was, you know, obviously too many things that we didn't do well enough.
Terrell?
I mean, King, what were some of the things that stood out to you as far as why you wanted to go out and get him to help this defense?
Well, John and I had talked, and, you know, it was a player that we felt like, you know, could help us, that could come in and has played DB, has been disruptive, has been effective blitzer and has done some things, and we'll see where he's at when he gets here. He's going to be away from the building for a while, going through protocol. So, you know, we won't know much until, you know, much later on in the week. Not even assuming that he'll be able to practice with us before Saturday. So, you know, everything that we've heard, that is a player that loves football, that's competitive, has played a number of different spots, played in the kicking game. So.
And do you foresee him as primarily being a guy that will be inside for you?
Well, I mean, that's where he's played the majority of his career. You know, once we get him here and are able to evaluate what he can handle within our defense and how quickly he can do that, then that would give us a little better indication. But I would say by all accounts, that's where he would start out.
John?
Yeah, I think you kind of touched on this, Mike, but exactly the protocols and so forth. When is the earliest he could, I guess, you know, be in the building and, you know, potentially help you guys out in the game?
Right. I mean, I think that he would be able to clear and potentially be there, you know, for Sunday. I don't want to misspeak, John. I don't, because there's a lot of things that go into play as far as the travel and the testing that has to take place. So I know that won't be, I think the earliest would potentially probably be Saturday, but you know, I'm going to focus on today, focus on the meetings that we've had and the meetings that we will have. And then our preparation for Chicago, and then get to Desmond and his entry into the building later on in the week. Sure. I would assume he will be involved in Zoom meetings for most of the week.
Okay, thanks.
Joe?
Mike, with Vic Beasley, what are you seeing or not seeing from him right now in snaps he's getting on the field?
Yeah, you know, Vic continues to work. He has been, you know, been practicing with us and showed us, you know, in practice that ready to go, you know, and so we all have to do better. You know, Vic, JD, Beasley, Harold, Jeffrey Simmons, you know, Rashawn, you know, good snaps we'd all like to have back. And you know, that the one thing about defense that I keep trying to to impress upon our entire team is that we need 11 guys on the field that are working for a common goal of executing the call with the details and the effort required. And we can show them those, and we can show them when it isn't coordinated or in tune. There's just, a mistake here that doesn't get, corrected, or someone else doesn't make up for that, or we're not, in the right place. And so that's in all three phases. That's on the kickoff where we got, a couple guys that are trying to field it. That's on a screen where we're not getting to the right guy. There's just those plays that show up throughout the game, and we have to clean those up.
Corey?
Coach, how is Adam Humphreys today, and what explanation did you get for there being no foul called?
I wasn't going to call the league and ask for an explanation. I didn't need one. I saw the replay. I saw him get hit in the head. At no point in time did I think that he was targeting him, but he was defenseless and got hit in the head or neck. But more importantly, humps up, moving around. He's in concussion protocol. He's doing better, like I said, than when he left the field. And I didn't need an explanation for other than that they missed it.
Terry?
Mike, on the Humphreys front, is that an area that you'd like to see the league maybe step in and be able to review hits on a defenseless player and have those reviewed? Maybe not exactly like it's done in college football, but at least – to get those calls right?
I think that anything we can do for player safety, we should try to explore. We've been through this before, whether it was Khalif Raymond. And again, we try to coach our guys that you're going to have to lower the target. And whether the officials are looking at whether he caught it, whether he had possession, but there's a lot going on. And then for them to see, the defenseless receiver protection. So, all they were reviewing is whether he caught the ball or not, not whether there was a – should have been a penalty or not. That's not a reviewable aspect.
Paul?
Mike, I was hoping you could help me better understand your answer yesterday about the coordinator position. You said you were sure it was not a factor because you see everything. So I was hoping you could kind of explain how your clear vision of everything, the third down woes, the personnel issues, serve as proof that a coordinator is not necessary.
Well, I guess that you guys are just assuming that we're in disarray, and I apologize for not being a little bit more clear. Shane coordinates the meetings. We all meet. It's a collaborative effort, just like it was last year. We meet on first and second down. Each coach has a phase of the, I guess, game plan breakdown, whether that be the run game, play action pass, screens, quick game. And we come together and we do that. And we make a plan that we feel like gives our players a chance that they'll be able to understand and execute. And then later on in the week, we move to third down and we move to red zone. And then we come up with that plan. We get it to the players. We try to teach the players. We practice it. We script the plays. We run the plays for them. And then – during the game, we call those plays that we've game planned, that the players have repped. So, again, I just was trying to explain to you that we don't have this isn't just a weekly thing where we just throw up some plays and see what ends up on the call sheet. And so, we have to coach and play better in all levels of our team, on offense, on special teams, and on defense. And we have to do that. We have to practice better, and that will lead to, you know, obviously better performance and continue to grind and to stick together as a team, which I know we have and will do.
You've always said it's about the players when it's good and it's about the coaches when it's bad. Is that the case?
Yeah. I mean, put it all on me, Paul. I mean, that's my job. My job is to make sure that we go out there and that we have the details covered and the plays that we're calling. Every player on our team knows what's expected of them. And so, you know, when we lose, you know, put it all on me. That's my job. That's what I signed up for. And I'm back to work. I'm excited. I'm determined to get this thing to get us back to winning football.
Steve Lemon.
Mike, along those lines, this is the first time in over a calendar year you guys have lost back-to-back games. I know, obviously, you were in a difficult spot early in last season, but there's new faces and this is a new team. What do you stress to your players this week about how you bounce back from this adversity?
Yeah, just trying to stick together, no bitching, no complaining. You know, I've asked them that if somebody's complaining, whether it's a teammate, whether it's a coach, you know, that we stand up and call them out, you know, however you want to do that. And we all need to be, pulling a rope in the same direction, understanding what we believe in here as a team, as an organization, you know, about our effort and our finish, not taking winning for granted, not taking success for granted, making sure that we're understanding the details, the communication and the decisions that we all have during the course of the game, you know, are critical. The penalties, that we understand those rules and what they're looking for. And then obviously the, you know, coaching and practicing ball disruption and ball security. Those are the four things that we're always going to believe in. And, you know, when we do those, we usually have a lot of success, or we give ourselves a chance to win the football game.
And then quick follow, if I may, I asked this yesterday and you said you didn't get any clarification at the time. Did you ask about the pass interference this morning with the league? Did you get any clarification a day later as to that big play?
No, the process of that is you fill out a form, Stretch fills out a form. We email it. And then sometime, I don't know, Wednesday morning, Tuesday night, we get a, you know, a response back, and they're canned responses. So, you know, we'll send it in, and I'm sure that it'll tell us that the ball wasn't tipped and that rose to the level of the foul. And they're canned. You know what I mean? I wish I could share them with you. The league won't let me share them with you. I really wish I could. Because they got about 8 or 9 canned answers that they send you back, and that's what they do. That's the process of it, you know. And so we're not going to complain about the officiating. We're not going to use that. It's, you know, Malcolm challenged and was doing things that we were asking him to do, and that official thought that he clearly and obviously affected the throw.
Jared.
Yeah, Mike, you said you were confident that if Clowney had another shot, you believe he'll go up there and wrap up the quarterback. What do you see out of Clowney or know about Clowney that the rest of us have not seen yet through 7 games that makes you think he is going to produce?
He's had very disruptive plays, Jared. I think we all have had some really good plays, some plays, you know, that we'd all like to have back. And so, you know, if going back over it again, for, you know, a few times today, you know, there was, you know, good moves. Again, getting into the pocket, you know, missed them on that one. You know, thought we had something that we liked, which, you know, we did. We got them through there, and probably tried to, you know, nail them too hard and not, you know, wrap up. And Joe did a nice job of spinning. You know, so. Again, that's one play, and a play that he would love to have back. But he's been, you know, we've sent him inside there before, you know, off the ball, and he's done some good things.
And then what's up with special teams? I know the last couple of weeks there have been all different aspects of special teams have kind of had a breakdown here or there.
You know, we take a lot of pride in our special teams. You know, that's we have to improve in that area. Whether it's our operation on a field goal, you know, punting a ball 5 yards deep into the end zone, the way we cover kicks, the way that we return kicks. So you have to do it every week in this league. Every week is a challenge. And so we, you know, we didn't take care of 40. You know, we knew that he was a good returner and certainly good as a coverage player. And when you have those types of players, you have to be, you know, not only aware of them, but you have to go and block them and execute the plan.
Chris Harris.
Mike, I got another question about Desmond King. Aside from his ability to blitz, which you mentioned, how can his ability in pass coverage maybe help with the overall pass rush?
Well, whether it's a player that's not in our building yet or a player that's still here or is here, it all goes hand in hand. You know? So the better that we the better that we cover makes the rush better, and the better that we rush will only help the coverage. And so, you know, we give them some credit. You know, I hate to say that, you know, but we made it with quite a few contested catches. That I wish we were able to get our hands on the football and dislodge it, but we weren't. So again, the longer you cover, the better that you cover. Hopefully, the better the pass rush will be, and vice versa.
I'll run through these follow-ups, Teron.
Yeah, with Corey Davis, you saw him making contested catches and just being strong at the catch point. How refreshing is it, and where is he as far as his development as a receiver that you guys can trust week in and week out?
Well, I mean, we always, you know, can trust Corey. We could trust a lot of those, most of those guys, all of them. I mean, they're on the team. We trust them. So, you know, Corey has a great play strength. You know, ability to make those contested catches that you mentioned. But I would say, like a lot of positions, you know, we, or most of the positions, we have to, you know, continue to clean up the details and you know, making sure that we're where we need to be when the quarterback wants us there. And then when given the opportunity, go and making those plays. And so, you know, I thought that was a great throw and catch, you know, in the end zone. Great body control by Corey. And great throw by Ryan, and we'll need, you know, much more of that as we head into, you know, this next week and against Chicago.
Corey,
Coach Bo Brinkley's been a steady contributor to this team for a long time, but you've got another experienced long snapper on the practice squad. Is that something you have to look at this week?
Yep, I think we have to do that, you know, each and every week. At every position and find out, you know, what gives us the best chance as we to win as we put together 48 guys for Sunday.
John?
Yeah, Mike, I hear often, you know, coaches and players say players play better when they're playing fast and they're not thinking as much. When you see the kind of problems coming up repeatedly that you have, you know, is there any sense that things maybe need to get simplified, that might help, you know, whether it's scheme, game plan, that type of thing in order to help the players out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always something to consider. We're really not trying to, you know, to add a whole bunch. You know, I think that, you know, there's always two schools of thought there that if you're going to do what you do, you got to be really good at it because – you know, they're going to scheme against it. And then if you start to game plan and change some things, then you better be, you know, really good with the adjustments that could come from it. So I think it's, you know, something that we always look at is what's too much, and do we, you know, do we throw things out as the week goes on, or do we not add as much? So we're always conscious of that, John. I think that's something that that we're always looking at.
Sure. One follow. Are you expecting a Dory at practice on Wednesday?
Sure.
Thank you.
I liked your response to my question, so I figured I'd answer it the same way you did.
All right. Sure. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Terry?
On the Adoree front, his three-week window is up at the end of this week, so do you expect to activate him onto the 53-man roster?
Terry, we'll do the same thing that we've done with all those guys that are coming back. We'll practice them. We'll see how they respond. And then we'll make a decision that's best for the player and best for the team. You know, that's what we've done. And you know, I can't answer that on Monday. But as we get closer to the end of the week, you know, hopefully we'll have a little bit more clarity.
And time for like three more, Paul.
Does Vic Beasley play with the level of effort that you've expected from every guy that you've brought through since you've been here? Or does $9.5 million in saving face dictate that he be on the field even if he doesn't?
I mean, Vic's done. Again, he showed us in practice the ability.
How about in games?
To do. And again, if you want to interrupt me, Paul, while I'm answering a question – you get all excited because you got to ask two questions today. And so I'm going to answer it. But if you interrupt me, not. So are you done interrupting me, Paul?
I'd rather know about games than practice, Mike.
Who's got the next follow-up, Robbie?
Teresa.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Mike, how is Brett Kern? It looked like he was maybe dealing with something on his hand yesterday later in the game.
Yeah. You know, we'll know more about Brett here later on today after we've done everything with the tests. But, you know, I think that we'll be close here at the end of the week to see, you know, how he's doing. You know, he's such a valuable member of our team. He's excellent at his job. So we'll just see how it affects his ability to not only catch the snaps, but to hold for Steven. And so then just to go back to Paul, you know, we do think that practice is a very important element of what we're trying to do, so that when we go out and practice and we make those plays and we're executing in practice, you know, it leads to the confidence and the ability to do it in the games. And so that's what I base my decisions on in our coaching staff, making decisions for guys to go out there and play in the game. So when we lose, we all have to coach and play better and continue to improve at this point in the season. You know, teams are going to go in one or two directions. They're going to keep going better or they're not. And we were a team last year that continued to improve, and that's my charge now is to make sure that we're one of those teams that keeps getting better.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Welcome back, Teresa.
Thanks, Coach.
Head coach Mike Vrabel.
Nice to be back.
The Tennessee Titans, his weekly press conference, post-game press conference on a Monday. A lot to unpack there, all brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. And we will get into that when we come back here on Darren, Donovan, Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, I guess that you guys are just assuming that we're in disarray. And I apologize for not being a little bit more clear. You know, Shane coordinates the meetings. You know, we all meet. It's a collaborative effort, just like it was last year. We meet on first and second down. Each coach has a phase of the, I guess, game plan breakdown, whether that be the run game, play action pass, screens, quick game, and we come together and we do that, and we make a plan that we feel like gives our players a chance that they'll be able to understand and execute And then later on in the week, we moved to third down and we moved to red zone. And then we come up with that plan. We get it to the players. We try to teach the players. We practice it. We script the plays. We run the plays for them. And then, you know, during the game, we call those plays that we've game planned that the players have repped. So, again, I just was trying to explain to you that we don't have this isn't just a weekly thing where we just throw up some plays and see, you know, what ends up on the call sheet. And so, you know, we have to coach and play better in all levels of our team, on offense, you know, special teams, and on defense.
There you go, the head coach of the Titans, Mike Vrabel, talking after the 31-20 loss to the Bengals. And that was brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. We played his Monday presser live. Willie, I'll let you start on what you heard.
Well, picking up on that soundbite, I think he was trying to illustrate, you know, I think there's a perception that he thinks, see, this is where I think there's a disconnect between what a coach thinks the media is thinking, and what he knows, right? So I will agree with him. Like, in his mind, he thinks that the media thinks that they're all discombobulated because they don't have a defensive coordinator in title, that means that the media just thinks they're not organized, right? And so he's trying to go out of his way to say, we have a plan, right? We're not just throwing a bunch of calls up. We are paying just as much attention to the defense as we would be if we had somebody as named a defensive coordinator. I think that's a valid point. But I don't think that's really what the question is. The question really is, would it be better if you had somebody named defensive coordinator? He's saying no. But I think sometimes Mike Vrabel isn't giving the media at large enough credit for really what you're asking, right? You want to say, would there be a better level of execution, et cetera, if you had somebody coordinated? So Mike Vrabel is arguing no, but I'm not sure he realizes, you know, what the real question is.
I'm not sure that I don't know why he would think that the media is saying that they're disorganized, they don't know what they're doing. I'm not sure. I don't get that vibe, although I can't speak for everybody. I've said it many times. I can only speak for the 4 hours that we do and the three of us, because that's what we control. But that's not the vibe I get, that the media is saying you don't know what you're doing, you're unorganized, there's chaos behind the scenes, nobody knows what. I think it's just simply whatever you want to call what they're doing behind the scenes, and he talked about it a little bit more in depth today. Whatever it is, it's not working, because under Dean Pease, it looked better. It was working. He was the defensive coordinator.
And so it's an easy conclusion to jump to is, well, they don't have a defensive coordinator. And so I think Vrabel takes that as, well, that's not the reason we're not doing it.
Then name somebody a defensive coordinator and stop the
same
narrative.
If it's the same people, then the system doesn't really. I think
then
his
why
point
not
is
name
this,
somebody?
Because it
name
doesn't
Shane
really.
Bowen.
It wouldn't change their preparation.
Then,
I think
then name
the point.
Him. Then call him the defensive coordinator. What's the big deal? What's the harm?
I think what. See, that to me is a really interesting question, because maybe he could just get it off everybody's back. People would get off his back if he just did that. When in his mind, it wouldn't change how they're preparing. Like, they're preparing the same way they would prepare, even if Shane Bowen or somebody else was called the defensive
coordinator. But we're allowed to disagree with what's going on in his mind. And I don't disagree with you. Then fine. If you've got nothing to hide and you've got you're totally fine with the process going on behind the scenes, then call somebody the defensive coordinator.
Well, so
name
maybe,
yourself.
Maybe
do what
next
name is Shane
maybe
Bowen.
Maybe later this week somebody should go on there and ask, why isn't Shane Bowen just called the defensive coordinator? Is it a pay thing? I don't know.
Well, I don't know why that wasn't followed up today, to be honest with you. I thought he gave his answer.
But he did say, he said, put it on me. I did like that. He said, listen, if you want, you know, if you want to put it on somebody, then put it on me. We're not getting it done.
I'm the head coach and defensive coordinator. Then name yourself defensive coordinator.
But I also like that he said, maybe I didn't do a good enough job of explaining everything to you all, which he didn't, because he likes to play things close to the vest. Today was very calculated. If you listen to,
he was ready
for the tone in his voice, he was ready for the questions. He was much calmer. He was, I wouldn't say he was necessarily in a good mood, but he knew what the mood of the press conference was going to be, and so I thought that he was prepared for that. And gave, you know, he still gave his coach speak answers. I mean, his line is, we have to play better and we have to coach better. Like, okay, yeah.
No, he gave, in fairness, he gave more than that.
I think overall that was pretty good.
But to Chase's point, it's heard every week.
He's not going to call out his player. He's not going to call out an individual player. He just isn't going to do it. And I admire that.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
So if you don't do that, then what else do you say? You can't.
Well,
you can't really say anything else.
There are ways to call out players without calling out players. Nick Saban's done it for a very long time. So what does he do? Well, he can get mad. You know, a lot of times when he gets mad at a press conference in the media, I mean, that message
about
is being sent
his
to
players?
His team. About his team.
About one of his players?
Well, they're a part of the team.
I'm talking about when somebody asks a question about Vic Beasley or Jadeveon Clowney or somebody that is struggling. Clearly struggling and obviously not putting up any numbers, he is trying to protect them. He is not going to call them out. I don't know what Nick Saban does. I don't know if Nick Saban gets that question or not. They don't have too many weeks where they're struggling, but he is not going to do it. When it's pretty obvious that he knows he's got to get more from Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney, and as he says, every single body on the defense.
He's
got to get more from all those guys.
Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, he was naming them all. He went down the list.
And so what he feels is not happening is they're just not all clicking together as a group. And he's got to get it fixed.
The problem, and I think we're kind of in agreements on, but we're also kind of going round and round about, we're kind of on the same page, we're not on the same page. Somebody has to take the – right? This is the whole point, and this is how it works when you sign up for this job, okay? When you are a head coach and you get paid millions of dollars, this is the stuff you have to deal with. All of them have to deal with this. Fair, unfair, that's what you sign up for. People have titles. People have to be held accountable because that's the way it works. Fair, unfair, once again, you can defend your coaches, you can defend yourself, you can defend your players. That is fine. It's perfectly fine. But when things are going the wrong way, people have to be able to identify with somebody. And this whole dynamic of defensive coordinator by committee or, wait a minute, it's the linebacker's coach or, maybe, no, wait a minute, it's the head coach or maybe that's what Jim Haslett was brought in. I don't, that whole thing, it's kind of, they've created this, right? And so when things are really bad on that side of the ball, which they are. They're really bad. And who knows if it's going to get fixed or not. But that side of the ball, even in the winning, has been very consistent, consistently bad all year long. Somebody has to be able to answer certain questions about it. And it's like you're directing it to the coach, but is it, I don't know, is it Shane Bowen?
He said
put
it on me.
Is it Shane Bowen? Is it Jim Hatt? Like, who?
Yeah, but Bowen coordinates the meetings.
But he said put it on me.
Then put it up. Then fine. Then he's the defensive coordinator. We'll start calling him the defensive coordinator, and everything is directed at Mike Vrabel. This is his defense. He's the coordinator and the head coach. Fair?
Fair.
Let's just do that moving forward.
He took it. That's what he's going to do, and I like the message. I still view Mike Vrabel as a guy that if I'm in a foxhole, I would like to have Mike Vrabel in my foxhole, and I like what he said, too. I can't repeat the word. I won't repeat the word that he said. It did get on the airwaves, which is fine. He said the players have got to stick together and not, I will use the word, complain. He used a word that started with a B, and that's fine. I like that. Right. But that's good. That's good. And I think you have a better chance of getting through the storm when you have that attitude. I do think this is a pretty tight-knit group. And I think that gives you a better chance of getting through some tough things.
Most good coaches, though, And that says that means that I'm calling him a good coach because he is. Most mm-hmm. good coaches take up for that. They're not the bad ones. The ones that don't last are the ones that start throwing their players under the bus. Like Matt Nagy, right? What he did with Trubisky. In the end, is that going to work? Is Matt Nagy going to be last? I just think ultimately the good coaches, they do deflect and they do defend their players. So he's not really doing anything new. That's what good coaches do. They don't throw their players under the bus.
True, but in special situations, I think you can, I don't know if it's a last resort or if it's just the right personality. There are times where I think a coach can do well by saying, I got to have more.
Well,
I got to have more from this guy. If you think that's going to motivate him, then maybe you do it. He hasn't gone there.
Yeah, that and I think how he's handled Isaiah Wilson. It's very clear whenever he's asked a question about Isaiah Wilson that he's not happy with Isaiah Wilson. So do the same with Beasley.
Now, real quick as we get out, Brett Kern, can he catch the snap to hold or to punt? He said, we'll have to learn more information later today. It sounds like you could see he could not
didn't
move
sound
his,
promising.
Didn't sound real promising. They might have an issue there and with the long snapper. And, of course, they've got a new nickelback slash special teams person. Does he end up on the return team? And can they get him suited up for Saturday? So the earliest they could get him in there would be Saturday for Sunday's game. I don't know about Sunday.
All right. That'll do it for Monday's edition of Darren Donick and Chase. We will have a whole lot more to go over tomorrow. No doubt about it. It's a fast-moving show today. You have a great rest of your day. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.